Greetings from our church in Houston, Greater Grace Church in Houston. We have two churches now in Texas. Pastor Adam Speedy has planted in College Station, which is just an amazing thing that's happening there. So greetings from him. My brother, Pastor Jason. Does anybody know Pastor Jason Moore? No? Okay. Leah. My wife, Gosha, and Caleb, my son, send their greetings as well. And so it's such a blessing to be here. I come up here, try to get up here every 3 months or so when I see the check engine light come on. In my soul, I'm like, okay, I need to get to Baltimore. I was thinking about, for the offering today, this word glory. And we had a Bible study last night at the Hall's home, and we had just Filipinos there, and it was just a lot of people. It was just a great time, and we talked about this a little bit last night about glory, and I was thinking about this word. When we read in Luke chapter 2, you don't need to turn there, but it says in verse 13, and suddenly there appeared with the angel who was speaking to the shepherds in the night. It was cold. There wasn't a lot of light at that time. It was very dark, and suddenly there is this bright angel, and they appeared. There appeared with the angel, in verse 13, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." And I was thinking about this word glory. And you know, we as people, as human beings, we were hardwired to gaze upon glory, to crave glory. This is something that's very much a part of our being as an individual, as a person. And if we can't have that glory, then we seek and desire to partake of it with someone else who may be famous or well known. We desire this glory as something that God has created in us. And we see this with Eve in the garden. She sees the tree, and she was made to behold something incredibly wonderful and impossible and beautiful and pleasant. And we have been created for that. We have this appetite. We have this craving. And we see this in the Old Testament. We see Moses in Exodus 33. He says, "Show me thy glory, God." We see David, Psalm 27, in the midst of a very difficult time in David's life, he said, "God, that I just may behold your beauty, your glory, that I may behold that." Philip said this to Jesus in John 14. He said, "Just show us the Father, and that would be enough." And we have this hunger and this desire for glory. And any time that we replace beholding the glory of God with something else, in Romans chapter 1, verse 23, it's always with an image. It's always with something else. It's always with something, a picture. It is, we replace the glory of God, we replace the truth with something that the world can try to offer. And this is Christmas time, and this is when we are just amazed by the lights and just this almost surreal environment of just mystical happiness and joy. And when we think about glory, what were the angels talking about? They were talking about glory in the highest. And I want to just mention this about glory, that Jesus came in John chapter 1, verse 14. He came. He is the express image of God. He is the incarnation of God's glory, of who God is. And I think that this craving that we have for glory is something, it's a craving that's fatal. It's something that if we truly saw who God was, we would be consumed. It's like looking at the sun. Recently, we had the eclipse in Texas, and I think it was here too, because I think we share the same sun here, right? And so my son and I had these sunglasses, and we were looking at the sun, and we saw the moon, you know, pass in front of the sun. Without sunglasses, without these special glasses, we would have burned our retinas out. The same thing for us to see the glory of God, that thing that we crave, the nostalgia that we have for the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, we need to have a filter. God said you cannot see the glory of God and live. And so Jesus came, and he was our filter. We beheld him, the express image of God, Paul said to the Colossians. And when we see him, John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 1, we are touching and we are participating with the glory of God. In John 17, Jesus said that they may know me. He wanted to share his glory with us. He wanted us to be partakers of that. And so just in closing this little thought here for the offering, how do we partake in that? I think when we think of what Jesus said, the prophecy that there would be a light that would shine in Galilee, that was Jesus Christ. He is the light. And when we look at his life, when we look at his story, when we look at his messages, when we behold Christ in the Word, when we behold Christ in the body of Christ, and when we behold Christ on the mission field, we are partaking something that's something that we desperately need. We need something glorious, and that is the glory of Christ. And what is that glory for us? It's the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's the glorious gospel. And when we look at the gospel and when we partake of the gospel, the finished work, the grace of God, when we were yet so wicked and we are yet so full of unbelief and so filled with doubts and deviousness inside of our hearts, and yet at the same moment, we are loved, we are beloved, we are accepted in the blood of Christ. This is a glorious thought. And during this Christmas season, if we could behold his glory in the mundane, the little things, the tiny small things, the little face, we'll see his glory. Amen. Father, we pray that you would bless this offering. We thank you that when we make hard decisions, when we take up our cross, when we follow him, when we choose to give our 10% of our offering, and we choose to give above and beyond our offering, we are doing something, we're partaking in the glory of God by faith. We are looking at something, the impossibility of your nature, the impossibility of your love, and we're stunned, we're just amazed at the glory. And we do that this morning by faith. We give, and we pray that you bless and just multiply this offering for your name's sake, in Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Chris, thank you for that word. That was good. That was good, wasn't it? I'm hungry for glory. I want glory. How many of you, when you were young, you wanted to wear a football uniform? When you were 10 years old or something, anybody? Baseball hat, baseball glove, fireman hat. What about it? Anybody? You were looking for glory. I had a cowboy outfit, had two guns, and a plastic sheriff badge. And I walked through the living room Christmas Day with all my stuff on. I was hungry for glory. How about it? How about when you post on social media the best you got? Why do you do it? You're hungry for glory, right? You're hungry for glory. Why did you get real quiet when I said that? What's going on? What's going on? Come on, let's be honest. We're hungry for glory. Wow. And what Pastor Chris said, Eve in the garden, when she was told by the devil, you will be like God, that sounded good, right? Yeah. And the tree looked beautiful and was good for food. You got three things. It's beautiful. Food. Let's repeat. Food. What else? Food. Food, pizza, everything. Food, beauty, and I could be like God. Come on. I'm hungry for that. But when Jesus came, he was different. He had no sin, and he was only here to please the Father. And whatever glory would come from that, that would be between him and the Father, and that was how he lived. And 3 days later, he sat down at the right hand. And how about us? We're learning. Would you say?
Yay, Lord.
We're learning.
Yes,
Lord. Yeah. Wow. Well, I think you and I have a lot to learn in this life. What do you think? Do we have a lot to learn? I mean, from here, what do you think? We have a lot. It's a joy. And I'm so happy you're here. I was in Latin America. I'll put this up on the screen. Right? Is it this one? Okay. Last week, we were in two places. Buenos Aires, Rosario, and let's see, Santiago. I might be wrong in my... Oh, no. Up here is Buenos Aires. Sorry. We can reverse it all. I can change... I can correct my mistake. Huh? Okay, so here's Buenos Aires, Rosario, Chile, Santiago, and Rancagua. We had LAMCON, Latin American Missions Conference, every year, and Pastor Stan Collins organized it, so... Sturge Gorm and I went together, and we had a beautiful time, 3 days in Chile here, 3 days there, and 3 days over here. And the love, the faith, the connection, the years now. A couple people said to me, last time I saw you was 40 years ago. When I was there, like 1987. Don't do the math. But that was amazing. And then, what Pastor Stan and Karen are doing, and all the materials from NBCNS, the Bible College, and. How they get the morning devotional sometimes from Pastor Stan with Latino subtitles, going through the morning devotional that we do here. And Pastor Hadley was there the week a little bit before us. And wow, just the body of Christ. So. When you and I are part of this, we are living in faith, and you might say, I don't know that I'm a part of it. I'd like to correct you that you are a member of the body of Christ, that he has baptized you into the body, and you belong. God is your Father, and we are members one of another in 1 Corinthians 12. And we actually have... the fellowship in the ministry of the word. I'd like to just say a couple of things here before we start. Isaiah 28, 9 and 10. I'm reading from New King James, so I think whichever translation they put up there, Isaiah 28, 9 and 10, just to encourage you in reading your Bible, getting materials from our bookstore, in other places, Isaiah 28:9. To whom will he teach knowledge? To whom will he explain the message? Okay. Those just weaned from milk. We, as a mother of an infant child, you would understand that word weaning. We know what it is. But it's when the child doesn't breastfeed anymore, the child starts to eat solid food. I remember in our family, my wife would start stuffing bananas in the baby and get the baby to sleep longer, not wake up hungry every 2 or 3 hours, try to get a full night's sleep. And so how will you learn... how will you gain knowledge? But you have to get off of just only milk. You need some solid food. This is spiritual. Solid food is when you not only learn the doctrines and you learn the reality in terms of the Bible, but you are practicing it. You are learning to apply it. You actually obey it. You start to believe it. You put your life in it. You are spirit-filled, and you are embracing it in your life. verse 9, it says, those who are weaned from the milk, those taken from the breast. For it is precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. One illustration I heard Timothy Keller said it when he was a first pastorate down in Virginia. He said that there was a celebration when he was saying goodbye, and the church had a celebration for him. And the question, what do you appreciate about what happened when he was the pastor there? And nobody mentioned his messages, but they said things like this. One man said, I remember when my son went to prison and you came and you gave me this verse, John 13:7. You don't know now what I do, but you will know later. And the man said, that ministered to me. That verse of scripture was what I needed in my trial. When my son was going to prison, I was so upset. But when you gave me that word, that's what I built my life on. I don't know now what you are doing, but I will know later in John 13. So when you start to hear and apply what this is saying, when you start to hear it in the church and then carry it in your heart, little, little, I like that, little by little, one brick at a time, little by little, one Bible verse that I will carry in my life, one scripture that I will use in my heart to trust you and believe you. Those people will be taught. You'll be taught. You will be learning. And many of us have been in this ministry for decades, and in Latin America too, and we're just students learning from faith to faith. So don't underestimate how you spend your time when you come and fellowship and listen and concentrate on the message, concentrate on the person of God, worship him and listen in your heart. And you do, you're great listeners, but not always. You're great, great, not always. No, we're not. We don't always. We get upset, distracted, can't focus. But walk with God. Pray to him. Help. He will help you focus on what he wants to say to us. Okay, so let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2 for the first part. This is a Christmas message. And I'm going to change it up a minute, sorry. Deuteronomy 28, I want to share this with you. Deuteronomy 28. I just changed again. It's Deuteronomy 29. Okay. Nope. Okay. Okay, Deuteronomy 29:18-19. Beware, lest there be among you a man or a woman or a clan or tribe whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. There's a warning there about turning my heart, turning away. And what I want to share about man is that there's different kinds of people. We're all one in one category of sinners. We are all sinners. Christ is not. So the difference is obvious. We are all of us sinners. But then in the world, and if you think about people, there are some people that are very evil. And I'll put it here. They are very bad. And then some people are not as bad. This is morally and spiritually evil people with demonic influence in their life. Very evil. And then there are some people that are better, they're good. And then some people are searching for God. And then some people are saved. So this group is the saved people. So you go to work, wherever you work, and in your neighborhood, there are different kinds of people around us, and some can be very bad people. This was King Herod in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. He was deceitful, he was murderous, and he met the three kings. You remember, not three. There are three gifts, but we don't know how many kings there were that came from the east. And we could say that those kings were drawn. I don't know how to mark that, but they were drawn to worship, to find him, to find the king, to find the king of the Jews. They were led by the prophecies of Daniel. They were looking in the sky at the stars. There was the Shekinah glory that led them. They followed the star. Somehow, in their heart, in their faith, they were moving and traveling. They were from the east, so we don't know where in the east, but some of us have been in Central Asia. And we know that they could have come from there, and also Persia, of course, Afghanistan. That was a Persian Empire also. So these people, maybe Jewish, maybe partially Jewish, men who had never been this far west, and the star was leading them. So there are those people also in the world that are prepared in their heart. They want to meet God. They want to meet Christ. They want to find him. They are looking for him. So really you have evil people who would kill him, and then you have people that are searching for him who would worship him if they found him and love him. And that's in the story. But here I want you to just see something about the heart of people in verse 18. It says, beware that your heart would turn away from the Lord. So it says there, to serve other gods, beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit. And I sometimes think of Christians that turn away and they become bitter and they have this poisonous thing going on in their heart. There's something hatred or some jealousy or some bitterness, and they don't get better, but they should. And if they would listen and turn in their heart to God, they could be healed, no question. They could be healed. But left alone, they might just turn away from God. And this is written to the Jewish nation. This could happen. Look at the next verses, verse 19. One who, when he hears the words of this sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. Let me write that down here just to slow it down here. They say, I will be safe. This is presumptuous. It's like somebody saying that Psalm 50, verse 21, they say, God doesn't mind if I live in adultery or if I steal a little bit. He understands I cannot starve. He understands I've got to make a living. He understands when I fall in love. It's like somebody saying, I will be safe. They flatter themselves. This is called self-flattery. And it's very common in us as people. We just say, I'm good. I'm no problem. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I'm contented. But God is saying, no, I want to fill you with the Spirit. I want to satisfy you deeply. I want to teach you. I want to guide. I want to give you water out of a rock, oil out of a rock, it says in Psalm 81. I want to give you the real, true manna, the manna that they had in the wilderness. They ate it and they died. Eventually they died. It wasn't the... But I am the manna, and if you eat this manna, you will never hunger, and you will not die, but you have eternal life. I am the way. I am what you need. This is what God is saying. See, God has organized the world in such a way, there's nothing that will satisfy except Him. There's no real answer for my life except Him. But in my heart, I can turn away and I just say, it's good. It's good. Everything's fine. I'm good. Oh, yeah. I don't think about it. No, it's no problem. You know, that thing. This is, finish the verse with me, verse 19. It says, he says in his heart, I will be safe though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. This will lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike. So we have self-deceit. They have no interest in judgment. The world doesn't have any interest in knowing about judgment, God judging. It's such a great subject, though. God judging. It's called the white throne judgment. White throne. It's in Revelation 20. Handwriting's bad. 20, verse 15. Books are open. The dead come up and stand in their body before God at that judgment. And the books will be opened of everything that they have done. And they will be judged out of before God. I don't believe that. That's not true. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. I'm very happy. I'm contented. I'm satisfied. Don't worry. It's a deception, the deception of man. It's, to be honest, something like Herod. Herod doesn't have any searching going on in his heart. There's nothing really touching him regarding judgment, humility, love, truth. It's only he's a tyrant. That's all. He's just an evil man. And the world has been filled with those people. Not only in a governmental place like in Syria or in Russia or China, but in our own family, sometimes we are tyrants. In our own family, Lincoln said it. He let his kids run wild, Abraham Lincoln, in the White House. They even had a pony in the house. And he let his kids do it because he was against parental tyranny. That's what he called it, parental tyranny. He was just so kind and loving. And that's another subject, but I just want to say, tyranny is part of the human nature when our hearts turn away from God And then as we live wrong, as we're living wrong, we justify ourselves and we flatter ourselves with our arrogance and our own way. And that's what Herod represents in the story. When he asks, where will this king be born? And the wise rabbis quoted Micah 5:2 and told him in Bethlehem. And you know how he sent, after 2 years, he sent men down there to slay every child 2 years and younger, because he realized he had been fooled by the wise men, felt humiliated, and wanted to make sure that that king would be dead. But they had already left to Egypt. They were gone. God was in it. God was protecting the baby. God is in Christ. The plan of God goes on. So we have a couple of elements here. One is men. And you, these men that are evil, they may never change. They may never change. They are self-deceived. They are not humble. They are not coming to God. But with God, all things are possible. God can bring conviction. And that man could tremble before God. That man could humble himself. He could come before God and say, forgive me. And the most wicked man in the world, and there was one in the Bible, his name was Manasseh. Remember him? Manasseh. I think I got the spelling right. 2 Chronicles 33. Read it. Sunday afternoon Bible reading. 2 Chronicles 33. Wicked. 50 years killing his own people. Wicked, idolatrous, evil man is humbled. And he is humbled. And he repents. God saves him. He lives 2 more years and goes to heaven by grace. Wow. Amazing. So then we have people that need conviction. Every one of us in all this these categories here of people, they need conviction. Now, here's what we do. We share the message. There are people waiting to hear. There are people that want to hear. In the nursing home last night, or not the nursing home, but the adult living place, there were 2 women that raised their hand for salvation, and it's beautiful. There are people amongst us that want to know. There, I heard Bible sales are soaring. I'm happy to hear that, but we also got to get the Bible in the heart. But people going to church or looking or praying or seeking for the answer. And we that are saved are pointing to Christ. And that's our mission. Okay, now turn to Luke 2, please. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 8, and in the same, I want to draw attention to angels in this last part. Angels, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Now, angels, you know about them because we read about them in the Bible. And they are in heaven. There are so many, many, probably billions of angels, it's very likely. But they have seen severe things happen in regards to the universe. They have seen severity. They have seen the severity of God. They saw it when the angels fell from heaven. They saw the severity of God's judgment on angels, and they became demons cast down here to the earth. And the angels saw that. That must have been shocking to them. They are the elect angels. They are the holy angels. But the fallen angels are demons. They are here on the earth, in the atmosphere of the earth. Some are chained in hell, in Tartarus. And they are not released because they are too evil. Their evil is too strong. So they're like in a high security prison in the earth. They will be released at the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation period, but now they are not here, thank God. Remember the demons in the man in Mark 5, and where you have in Luke 5, the demons said, "Don't cast us into hell. It's not our time yet." But cast us into the pigs. Remember the story. And Jesus said, I would have said, Jesus, don't do what they say. Please cast them into hell. Get them out of here. But he goes, apparently not. Once they are in the pigs, and they go out of the pigs, and they go looking for another place to be. They are here still. The demons are here still. And wouldn't you rather have a world without demons? Yeah, I would. I would, but it's not their time. But the day is coming. Amen. In the millennial reign, where they will not be here, but they'll be in the bottomless pit, apparently. Yeah, all right, so in Revelation 20. So, the angels, well, they see God. They're in heaven. They see God. They also have seen severity of God. Where else? In the flood. They saw the whole population of the world gone in the flood, except for Noah and his family. They see the severity. They are wondering when this is going, when, how the world, how heaven will come on the earth. They are curious about it. It says that they are looking into it. By coming here and listening to us teach the Bible. That's amazing. That's 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12. They are looking into it. They are curious about it. Of course they are. They've got amazing wisdom and amazing knowledge, but some things they are ignorant of. And one of them is the watching of the history of the world, and they're anticipating where it's going, and they read about it in the prophets, but it hasn't happened yet. They know about it in the prophets. Where else did they see severity? They saw Sodom and Gomorrah. That judgment. They could imagine, they saw Israel judged by the Babylonians because of the wickedness of the leaders, kings, prophets, and priests, as they were false prophets, wicked priests, and wicked kings. And by the way, in our country, we pray for our leaders because we don't want those kind of leaders. And we don't want to hear those messages that are false. For 2 Peter chapter 2. That's why you got to guard what you watch. You guard what you listen to. You guard what goes in. You guard your heart, that your heart would not turn away from God. But you would be turned to God and then be learning little by little, precept upon precept. And what I'm sharing today is a precept. And that is that this world is going somewhere, and that's the kingdom of Christ. Christ is returning. That day is coming, and the angels are anticipating it. Now, when he was born, they were like, whoa, there it is, Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the increase of his government will be on his shoulder. Like the kingdom is coming. It's on him. It's a person. It's the Messiah. It's not man, it's the Messiah. That kingdom is coming. So no wonder the angels are inviting the shepherds, and they are appearing to the humble people, and the angels are saying, glory to God in the highest. We have seen it, that he came. Here it is. And his name shall be called, and this is the part of Isaiah 9, 6. We could put it up on the screen. 9, 6, and 7. Unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. I would love to be with Jesus when he's teaching. How about you? Would you be here he is a teacher? Would you be sitting there listening? Would you care? Would it go in your heart? Martha, Martha, you are distracted by many things, but Mary's chosen the good thing that will not be taken away from her. She sat at his feet, and he is a wonderful counselor. Now, when you go through trouble, you need a good counselor. It may happen at the hair salon, but it might not happen there. Might happen at the barber shop or your best friend, or there's a bar room somewhere. Like, you don't need that. You need wonderful counsel. Because when somebody dies, you don't only need somebody to put your head on their shoulder. God bless them and you. Absolutely. But I'd like to hear somebody say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? When you fail in life 3 times, 7, 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, I need to hear somebody say, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I need counsel. I need the Bible. I need good words about praise, about prayer. I need a counselor, Jesus, the Messiah. The angels will say, listen to him. Listen to him. He will change your life. Read his words. Meditate on them. Memorize his words. Understand what he's saying. Receive it in your heart. God will put it in your heart. And you know, when the kings came and they worshiped the babe, I mean, they worshiped him. And it's a baby, imagine. That's a little bit like us. It looks maybe a little bit ridiculous, but this is how we live, by faith. By faith, we pray to a God we cannot see. We pray to a God we cannot feel. And honestly, sometimes we don't understand him. It's called hard sayings, like drink my blood and eat my flesh. But where will we go? He has the words of eternal life. Let's go. I'm with you, Lord. Let's go. We're believing you. Next word. Not the next scripture, but the next title. Yeah. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. That's who you are associated with. The Mighty God. He made the oceans, the sky, and insects, and huge whales, and elephants, and bacteria, and the cosmos, and gravity, and force, and energy. He made it all, and he's taking care of you and me. He is our Father. He knows the hairs on our head. He's the Mighty God. He knows all things, our downsitting and uprising. He knows our thoughts afar off. He is a mighty God, not a little God that, you know, that people are afraid of or wear around, you know, rabbit's foot or something. A mighty God, huh? He makes you a man. He makes you a man. You go from being a boy to being a man. You grow up. We all are on a curve, a learning curve. But if you're male, you become a godly man who's also a humble man and a kind man and a wise man and a listening man. And if you're a woman, you're a godly woman and a gracious woman and a wise woman and a firm, a strong woman in a good way, that's like has dignity and character in you. That's what happened. We have the mighty God that made us this way. We follow him. And then the next one, everlasting Father. Now, usually Jesus is not called Father. God the Father sent Jesus Christ, the Son. But in this case, he's called Father because in the universe, he is the one that created it. God the Father sent him, but God Christ is our Father also. But he's the Father of time, Father of space. He is the Father, he's called here in the verse, Everlasting Father, and then he's also called, and this is one of my favorites, Prince of Peace. I don't think there could be a greater gift than to have peace in your life. Have peace. You know, a little bit of anxiety, blood pressure goes up, a little bit of nervousness, can't sleep one night, worried about something, hear bad news, the fear, things I feared. Job said, what I feared has come upon me. I worry, fear, relationship, distress, turbulences, and talk and chatter. And envy, maybe, like you will go on social media and have people, your best friends are boasting about how, let's see, what are they boasting about? Their new car, their vacation in the Caribbean, their perfect children, the diplomas in their family, the careers that they made, their six-figure incomes or whatever it is, and you're just like sitting down with beans for supper. And you got nothing. You got nothing. Well, does that bother you? Yes. No. Yes. No. It's okay. Be careful how you relate to social media, because it drives people, some people, crazy. I'm not on it, so I don't have the problem, but I know about it, read about it. I don't care about it. I care about people I know and I can see and call and talk to, like we all do, but I'm just saying to live a life with thanksgiving for what I have. What I have. Thank you, Lord, for what I have. Right? And I know I have a lot. I know that. But I can't build my life on those things. They will go anyway. All of them. Every one of them is gone. Is going. Everything we have is going. Everything. Everything is going. When you are buried, no U-Haul is going behind the hearse. You are buried. Nobody cares about when you go down. You're not there, by the way. You're not there. You're gone. Hallelujah. We're going to heaven. Wow. We're going to heaven. Can I say that again? 1,000 times. We're going to heaven. We're passing through. We're leaving, we're going to fly away, Psalm 90, verse 10. Absent from the body, present with this incredible, Hebrews 12. It's incredible, innumerable number of angels and the spirits of just men made perfect and the church that God bought by his own blood forever recorded, and we will never, never die. Do you feel that? I feel I wasn't made to die. We were not made to die. We're going. So you have peace, deep peace in your heart. Guard your heart. Guard it. Don't let it turn away from the truth. The truth will set you free. Lead you in your life and carry you all the way, and we that believe will not be ashamed. Romans 10:13. And we will go. We're carried to glorify God, like an angel. I just made this up. I'm making it up. It's not exactly correct, but it goes like this. The angel looks at me and goes, "What's he doing here? What's he doing here? And what do you say?" "I've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. I'm the Son of God brought me here. The Father elected me. I was chosen. I decided to believe when I was on the earth. My name went in the book of life." An angel looks over at Tia Patron, and he goes, "What's she doing here?" And then she says the same thing. All of us, none of us should be. The angels know it. The angels know it. And when he was born, they sang about this, and they knew there was peace on earth in that baby. In that baby, there was peace on earth. Finally, there's peace in a sinful world. Peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Yeah. Amen. Would you pray with me? Come to Jesus today. In your heart, turn to him. Come to Jesus. If you never have, do that now. Come now. Christmas of 2024, you're coming to Jesus. You're not so great at all. No, none of us are, but we have come to Jesus. And he rose from the dead for us and saved us by his great love. Say to Jesus, "I believe in you." Anyone saying that prayer first time, raise your hand. Anybody? Yes to Jesus, just raise up your hand. The ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone at all? Okay. And then if you are a believer and your heart has drifted, say, "I want a new beginning. I want to concentrate. I want to hear. I want to grow. I want this to be in my life. I want to make a commitment to God in my heart. I want Jesus in my life. I want him to change my life. My life's not that good. And I've been presumptuous. I say, I'm good, but I'm flattering myself." But let's come as we are before him and confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come as you are in your heart to him. Walk by faith and His name. Amen.